They compete hard on the field and play to win. But in real life, they serve a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field show with hosts Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
And welcome to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio, the home of the national champion, Villanova Wildcats.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations to Jay Wright and Villanova Nation. Second time in 3 years. They are the national champions. A phenomenal game Monday night. But I'm hearing all this talk, Doug, since you're a big-time Philly guy, right?
Yeah.
Some people in Philly don't want to accept Villanova as part of Philly, but yet it's the first time ever in the history since the Super Bowl era that the Super Bowl champions and the men's basketball national champions have come from the same city. And I know
Correct.
Villanova's out on the main line. And to all the people who want to say, oh, they're not Philly, it's not Temple. I went to Temple for my master's, and I don't have that same kind of hatred towards anyone. I feel good for everyone, and I feel like why not be happy? Why not celebrate a classy school like that? A phenomenal program, a wonderful coach. Enjoy it.
Well, it's a different culture. And I talked to a colleague of mine who went to Temple, and the perception when you look at Temple, when you look at St. Joe's, the Villanova is a little bit different. And when you talk about the main line, a lot of people don't view the main line or Radnor Township as part of Philadelphia. It's on the outskirts of the city, maybe a little bit further out than that. And it's a different type of university.
Not too far from where we are in studio right now.
We're actually close to St. Joe's. And so Villanova is about 20 minutes away. Mm-hmm. And you know, there are two different types of students that potentially would go to those schools. I don't know that
when you want to try and generalize the kind of kid that goes mm-hmm. to a school, it's tough.
Well, it's a private school, so it's not a state institution,
right?
It's extremely expensive to get in there. And
unless you got a free ride for playing hoops.
Well, the small majority there. Yeah, but I think there's just maybe a sense of entitlement for some people that may go to Villanova that some people may be a little jealous of.
I think that's what it all – you hit the nail on the head. It boils down to jealousy.
Absolutely.
If you can't be happy for someone else's success, what does that say about you?
You may take that against the population, the students that are at the school, but you can't take it away from Jay Wright and the athletes that played. They were phenomenal as a team. They put on an amazing performance throughout the tournament.
It was a great season, second championship in 3 years, and I don't think they're done yet. And what Jay Wright has done now is put himself in the elite of college basketball coaches, the Mike Krzyzewskis, Roy Williams, and guys of that ilk. Jay Wright absolutely belongs in that conversation right now. But, guys, it's good to be back. It is good to be back in studio live after, it's been a month in sunny, beautiful sunshine in Florida. And I come back, and it's disgusting here, man.
It's not a good day, Rob. I knew you were gonna.
I don't understand.
Like
get on that.
Times here while you're
I know, so I can't complain too much, right? If it makes you feel better, it was the worst weather that we had in March in Florida. I've been going there for 19 years now. This was the coldest. It was chilly. There was like a 6-7 day period. You couldn't even hit the beach, like without a shirt on.
No.
Yeah,
I couldn't go to the beach, Doug, because I didn't have a shirt on. I didn't have electricity for a couple nights, right?
You know, when I talked to him a little bit, he's like,
"You guys lost electricity?
Yeah.
Man,
it's crazy."
He was saying, "I might as well just go to work." I was like, "I feel bad for you, Rob. I'm sorry."
You might have to go
cover the Phillies.
The way I looked at it was, it would be easier for me or cheaper for me on vacation to go work than to try and find things for Remy and the kids to do because the beach, you can't do that, you know. Every time I look, I'm like, oh, man, it's 65, 66 degrees. It's going to cost me. Now we're going to have to go to the aquarium. We're going to have to go to a museum.
Exactly.
We're going to have to go on a trip. We can't just walk to the beach. We had this condo perfectly placed, one block to the beach and one block to the Boca Ciega Bay. I don't know why we live here. I don't know why we live here. I don't know if anyone lives up north and you have an opportunity to move, why would you endure this temperature?
Because we've got great restaurants here.
Man,
we got great wrestlers and great schools like Eastern and Villanova.
Yes. We win championships.
That's right.
Here.
We win championships here. We just
the school
really
thing
just
is a
Super Bowl.
It is a big deal.
Yeah.
It is.
No,
a,
it is.
And from what I was told by a lot of people too, like the medical situation, they're like, you don't want to get sick in Florida. You don't want to have to go to. You don't want to go to. I've been, actually, in my 19 years, I've been sick twice in Florida. And one time I got in a car accident and ended up in a hospital there. And yeah, it was not fun. That was another thing that I don't know what happened this year down there. But the first 15 days, it got to the point where me and the girls were counting how many accidents we saw. 13 wow. accidents in the first 15 days. Mm. And it was worse drivers down there. And we survived the North, New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia. They're pretty rough down there. So it is good to be back with you guys. I am Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner. Happy Easter to you guys. Yes. Hope everyone enjoyed Resurrection Sunday. Christ is risen. We did not get an opportunity. We were on the road. And try to catch as many sermons as we could in the car over a 16-hour drive was extended to 25 hours. But Pastor Kyle, you got me through about 45 minutes with a phenomenal sermon that we really did enjoy. And I didn't realize this, and we'll talk about it later. I didn't realize that you also had, as you called it in that sermon, an illogical fear of boats.
Yes.
So we have something else in common
here. I agree.
Here.
I know. Yeah. It's wonderful.
So what I'm going to do...
It's based around the logical fear of sharks, but we will talk about
that. You go
deep
water. That's basically
and for me, it's deep water. For you, it's sharks. So I'm going to have you guys try and settle we had a little back and forth going, me and Remy, while we were in Florida, and I want to know if I technically ended up on a boat, because I did take a ride on water in a apparatus that transports you from one place to another. But she doesn't consider it technically a boat. So we're going to have to do that. We'll talk about that maybe in the third segment. But while I was down there at spring training, there was a ton of movement in the NFL. Free agent frenzy. Wasn't it wilder this year than ever before?
Seems
it was exciting.
It was guys getting money. It was completely different than baseball. Because here I am. I'm down at spring training, and a Philly signed Jake Arrieta mm-hmm. 3-4 weeks into spring training. Yeah. Doesn't get the money that everybody thought he's going to get. Meanwhile, at that same time frame, NFL free agency and guys are getting money thrown at them left and right. And, you know, we can't let this show go without saying Trey Burton signs with the Chicago Bears.
Absolutely.
A great friend of the show. Yep. And obviously someone that you know very well, yep. Pastor Kyle. And how difficult was that for you?
Oh, man, I couldn't be happier for, you mm-hmm. know, Trey and Yesenia and the family, you know, that Trey's going to get a chance to really showcase his talent and set his family up. And all that is great. From a professional side, I miss him. He was such a, and I think the Eagles will miss him. Not only for who he was on the field, which he did so many things on the field, opened up, even when he wasn't catching the ball, opening up really lanes for everybody else, but just the character guy that he is. He was truly one of the sparks that held that core of players together, and he's going to be missed. We're praying for the best for him. Fantastic.
And he signs with the Bears the day I'm at the Phillies game, and he throws out the first pitch
in
Clearwater. And by the time I'm having a conversation with someone who came to our Eastern event, ironically, with
That's
Carson
right.
Wentz.
That's right, yeah.
So I'm on the concourse, and I'm having a conversation. Next thing I know, I'm like, oh, they're announcing Trey Burton. He's throwing out the first pitch. I didn't know he was there. I know he just signed with the Bears. I'm going to try, and he was gone.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he had a flight or whatever. And he was gone by the time I finished the conversation. Another one of the guys that we've had on this show, someone who you had a great relationship with too, Pastor Kyle, Marcus Johnson, who you baptized in that hotel pool in Carolina right before the Eagles-Panthers game. He was traded as part of the deal to the Seahawks for Michael Bennett. So you bring in a guy, a tremendous professional player like Michael Bennett, and you lose someone like Marcus Johnson, who I think could go down there to Seattle or out there, down there, up there, however geographically you look at it, he can go to Seattle. He might have some success in that offense.
I think he was, you know, I mean, that's where he was drafted. Mm-hmm. They obviously wanted him back, which is always a good sign.
That's interesting.
Marcus has a ton of talent. Mm-hmm. His physical attributes are really incredible. I always tell our young players especially when they're getting recruited to go to college, go where you're wanted. When a coach really wants you, they're going to make a way for you. And I think it spoke something about Marcus that they wanted him back.
It means a lot when you go somewhere, an organization that maybe looks back and says, hey, we missed something here.
Yeah.
And let's give this guy
absolutely
another chance.
And Torrey Smith also.
Torrey Smith.
To the Ravens as well. So
another one of the players we had on the show.
Amazing character guys who are being sewn into. You know, we have to look at it. We've been talking with some of the guys just about seeing it as, you know, God really sewing them into other places that to take what God did in Philly with iron sharpening iron and really building a community of faith and continue to sew that into other places that need it, just like the church in Jerusalem needed to go back out into all the world. And I think it helps when you can see it like that.
We look back at when Jordan Matthews was traded to Buffalo, and I remember having that conversation in a hallway at NovaCare with Carson about it had just happened, and said, hey, man, the Bills locker room might need someone like that to come in here and help these guys. And even though he had an injury-plagued season, by the way, a guy who's still unsigned right now.
Yes, he is.
Jordan Matthews is, and I know the Eagles have made a ton of moves, but there are teams out there who are going to get somebody who's going to go out there and prove what he can do. And they're going to, I don't know if they get him on the cheap or I don't know how they're going to get him, but he deserves to get paid and he deserves to have some success.
You know, Rob, that same thought process was with one of our first guests, Jemar Gomez.
Yeah.
You know, when he talked about that, you know, hey, if God wants me to be here, that's great. If he wants me to go somewhere else, then they need to hear about Jesus too.
Yep.
And soon after that, he did get released.
Yeah, right.
You know, but
after a great season previously.
It just goes to show for any professional athlete, they always have to have that thought process that something could happen at any time. And they have to be prepared to go out and do that. We don't necessarily think about that because we think of longevity and stability in our jobs.
Yeah.
Where we're not always thinking, hey, tomorrow potentially I could be traded or I could get injured and my life can change. You know, but it is interesting that most athletes are starting to get that thought process of, hey, maybe I can go out and that could be a new mission field for me.
Did I see this right? Sean Spellman writes, Eagles beat Brady. Nova beat Brady's alma mater, so Philly 2, Brady nothing.
Oh, that's been going around. Yeah, we beat Michigan twice. That's basically what everybody's
so,
saying.
So Brady, after tweeting or putting on Instagram, because I don't think he's on Twitter, after putting on Instagram a picture of him in the Easter Bunny outfit, then he also put something yesterday for Let's Go Blue for Michigan. And of course, Eagles fans piled on because, hey, he did. That's his alma mater. You got him twice there. So good.
Well, Villanova's blue too. So you know, hey, you know, let's go with it, right? Yeah. So you're not being a little more specific. That's a little fumble.
Our guest today is going to be one of those players who cashed in during the NFL free agency, and it's going to be a guy who protected Tom Brady's blind side for 6 years in New England. He is left tackle Nate Solder. Got a 4-year, $62 million deal with $35 million guaranteed. Because that's the important part. You hear these guys getting all this money, but how much of it is guaranteed from the New York Giants? So he goes from protecting Tom Brady's blind side to doing it for Eli Manning, who also beat Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl. But we're going to talk today about preparation. The title of this episode is going to be Do the Reps, because we prepare for everything in our lives. We, I should say many of us, prepare for everything from birth till death, and funeral homes and cemeteries even want you to prepare for your death by planning all your arrangements ahead of time and all that stuff, but we're not going to get morbid right now. We prepare for our future, going to school, choosing what type of degree you want, getting ready by getting an education. We prepare for marriage. We prepare for, get ready for having children. There's counseling courses. There's parenthood courses. I remember going to something one time that wanted how do you change a diaper? How do you do this? And I was like, I'm going to learn this. You know, I'm going to learn this on the fly. In sports, right, guys? In sports, you have to prepare. You got to be ready for every – if you're a bad foul shooter – get out there and do the reps, man. Get out there and shoot 1,000 free throws a day. Whatever it is, if you can't hit that outside curveball and you can't turn on this pitch or your mechanics are off as a quarterback or your footwork is, you got to do the reps. You have to prepare. But how do we do it in our lives? How do we get ready for trials? How do we get ready for adversity? How do we prepare for temptation? How do we get ready for all these obstacles that life is going to throw at us? I'm going to tell you this, the best life guidance course, the best life guidance counselor is God. And the course is free, and the answers are right there in the Bible. And when you want to look back at one of the stories when Satan tempted Jesus, it was 3 times after Jesus was fasting 40 days and 40 nights. And he tempted him 3 times, and each time Christ responded with a scripture. If we spend time in the Word, if we are diligent about reading God's word to us, his he laid out the foundation for us in the Bible. We can be ready for any trial. We can be ready for any adversity. We can tackle anything. We can say no to any temptation. You're going to hear from Nate Solder how God's word prepared him for tough times in his life next segment. But guys, let's talk about doing the reps by getting in the word and getting ready and preparing yourself for whatever life is going to throw at you. Take over.
Yeah, no, I think, look, David says in Psalm 119, you know, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I don't sin against you. I think that there's something very important about making sure that the word of God becomes the foundation for the life of a child of God. And it's not just a rule book. It's the heartbeat of who he is. It's really the love letter so that we don't, it's not just understanding how to play within the lines. And I think that's a lot of times people look at the Bible and say, I got to look at the word and see how to play between the lines. You know, what lines do I play with within? And yet we don't understand the why we play. So, you know, you can't define football just by looking at understanding 120-yard field that's, you know, marked out in white stripes. You have to understand the why. What's the heartbeat behind it? And I think that's sometimes what we miss in the Word of God. But, you know, Rob, this weekend should remind us there's this Saturday moment where Jesus dies on the cross, and there's a Saturday where the disciples are still scared. They're in the upper room. They're really not responding, at least with what we would consider a lot of active faith, because Sunday hasn't come yet. After Sunday, everything changed. But I think before Sunday, things could have changed because Jesus had given them the word time and time again. Mark 9:31, you know, he says to them, look, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. And on the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead. Mark 16, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. So time and time again, John 14, I'm going to go away, but don't worry, I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to go to make a place for you. John 16, 7, you know, don't worry, I'm going to go away, and it's to your advantage that I go away. He had given them everything they needed to respond differently to those moments by the word ahead of time. And I think for us to learn how to respond differently to circumstances that we face in our now, we need the word spoken into us ahead of time.
I think a lot of times, and Rob, the thought process of doing your reps to fight off temptation is a great topic for today. It's not a question of if something will happen. It's a matter of when temptation will come. You know, and you're right, Kyle, that it's easy to reflect back and say, well, God was telling me this, or I should have done this better. But then we've already failed. And yeah, we do learn from our failure, but Christ doesn't want us to fail. He wants us to be prepared.
Correct.
He wants us to be able to fight off that temptation, but that takes work and forethought to say, I don't know when the temptation's coming. I don't know when the test is coming,
yes,
but it will come at some point. And a lot of times it finds us unsuspecting that that circumstance will occur, when I think maybe in reality, if we are in the Word all the time and we're sensitive to it as opposed to be desensitized to it, we'll be able to fight that battle a lot better. And that's exactly what Christ was when he was tempted in the wilderness.
Yeah, and I was going to go to that, because that is when the temptation, most often it comes when we're most vulnerable, when we're at a point in our lives, or when even a point in our day when something happens to us and we feel that tough times are coming, or they may be laying ahead. You feel vulnerable for a moment, and at this point, Jesus was led into. He was in the wilderness. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. You can imagine what that's like. He was hungry, and a tempter comes to him and says, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus' answer: "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And he said, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answers, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And then the final time, he goes to a very high mountain, shows him the kingdom of the world, and says, I'll give this to you if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus says, get away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. All of us are going to find temptation at some point of our day. We may not go through a trial or tribulations or adversity that is a daily situation. You can go through a nice stretch where nothing bad happens, everything's going well for you, there's no sickness or illness around you or surrounding you, no accidents, job's going great, everything's going great. But that temptation too sometimes may come right? When things are going so well.
Absolutely.
And you're having a high level of success.
Yes.
Right?
Or your lowest.
So you don't, yeah, you don't have to be completely vulnerable or at a point of despair. You could be at a point of jubilation and he reaches out to you and there's that temptation. And in sports, in the culture that we're in here, with these athletes and these guys who are making so much money and have so much coming, so much thrown at them, you know, it's like the Britney Spears song. Everybody wants a piece of me. Remember that? Britney Spears? I was watching that video earlier today because
admitted that live on radio.
I will tell you, I went to two Britney concerts.
Woo!
Yeah, she was a phenomenal performer.
Fantastic performer.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Phenomenal performer. Yep. I went to, it was a different stage of my life, and I had different reasons for it. And Ryan behind the glass is there. Yeah, they were actually.
Did he say you just listened to it though?
He did. I heard him say that he was on the run today.
I was running late, right? And I was running late here, and I tell you guys I'm running late, and we were going to meet up. We meet up for lunch, and Doug said
he
something
said,
like,
"I did it again."
Yeah, he's like, "Hurry up, let's go." So I said, everybody wants a piece of it. Like I came back from vacation. So I'm going through all kinds of emails and this and that. And this one guy's reaching out to me for this. And then someone's, so I got all this stuff. I felt like, man, everybody wants a piece of me. I can't. So I wanted to send it to you. Then I saw the video. I'm like, no, this ain't appropriate. I'm not going to send you that video. I didn't think it was appropriate to send you. I was going to send you the lyrics, but I didn't want to send you the, you know.
That would have taken him too much time, man. You guys do what you got
to
do.
Is it appropriate?
You
know? No, it wouldn't have been appropriate to send that to you.
Don't
but
take that.
But see, I was prepared by not putting temptation out there because I didn't want to put it through. Yeah, thank you, Lindsay. She's saying preach on Brittany because, you know. And by the way, Ryan tells us that Jordan Matthews has a workout scheduled with the New England Patriots.
Very exciting.
How would you two feel about that?
I actually saw that yesterday, and I was not happy about that.
No?
You know, no.
I think he would be a tremendous fit. They lose Danny Amendola, there,
which
right?
is exactly why I wouldn't
you
feel good
him
about
in
it.
You put him in the slot. However, they may trade Gronk.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, Belichick made – well, Gronk is now going to be in a movie, and, you know, they're and when Amendola gets – when Amendola signs and Gronk put out there on social media, go be free, be happy.
Yeah.
I went to the NFL meetings too down in Orlando and got to spend 22 minutes listening to Bill Belichick. And it was quite a scene because every coach is sitting at the table at the appropriate time. Doug Peterson's case 10 minutes early. Some other coach is 15 minutes early. Yeah. And they're all surrounded by different numbers of media. In Peterson's case, 15, 16 reporters. In Mike Vrabel's case, there was like two or three. In Belichick's case, you had to wait because sometimes he doesn't even come and takes the fine. But it was 8:15 breakfast, so I had to be up at 6 o'clock. Wasn't a good day. And then at about 8:30, he's not there, and the PR guy comes and says, no, Bill's coming, but he's not going to do it sitting down. He's going to do it standing up. So all the cameras and everyone who's got situated there and has been waiting for him for 20, 30, 45 minutes has to move everything over to where Bill Belichick's going to stand now. And then they get everything ready, and then he takes another 13 minutes before he comes there. And, like, they had a pool going. What time is he going to show up? What time? And then he talks for 22 minutes without saying anything. He didn't compliment anybody. He didn't want to talk about Tom Brady, whether he's coming back. He didn't say anything about – but, you know, and meanwhile you go back. And I'm running back and forth. I'm listening to Bill. Got to listen to Doug. Got to go listen to Frank Reich. Got to go listen to this guy putting out this story, that story. And I'm like, no, I think I got to stay here for Belichick. He may drop a nugget of information.
Right.
Didn't happen. Did
not get those 22 minutes back, is that what you're saying?
I'll tell you what, though. Jordan Matthews would do well in that locker room. They need a Jordan Matthews.
They do need
a Jordan Matthews in that locker room.
They lost Nate Solder. So, I mean, like, you need somebody to come in. And I think that he would do phenomenally well there, which I think after last season, and Kyle, you know, you're close with him. So, you know, it was a rough season. You know, coming off injury,
so hard for him.
Being traded at that point. But, you know, God takes us through some of those difficult times in order to teach us some lessons. And you know,
no doubt.
I think we just pray for those guys that are either close to the show or that we know personally, that they just will have some success just to continue their career.
Yeah, and I do think. I think J-Matt would be an asset to any locker room. You know, he has a phenomenal work ethic and his spirit is so good. I think, Rob, we're talking about Jesus' temptation and how we can be tempted high or low. And I think even in those three temptations there, we We can look at that. He was in the wilderness. It was a place of dryness, dry time, a famine time, a hunger time, which we all go through, those moments of dryness and tough times. Then he was in the temple, a place of worship. We never think about, even in our places of worship, our places of spiritual activity, we can still be tempted. There's tremendous temptations in those moments. And then he took him to a mountaintop, a high top experience. I think sometimes we think we're going through good times. These temptations aren't there, but they're present in every place. And I think if we can understand that, kind of testing comes in three different ways. There's common testing, which is 1 Corinthians 10:13 says is common to everybody. Everybody goes through stuff. Mm-hmm. We all have issues. We all have testing in our own life. There's seasonal testing, and that's kind of what we saw here in Luke 4, where the verse 13 says, Satan tempted Jesus at that time and then left for another opportune time. And there's times, right? There's times that we go through a season of test. If you're an addict and you've been set free for, 6 months, a year, 2 years, it doesn't mean that you will never be tempted again. Mm-hmm. There's temptation. You will be fine for 2 years, and then boom, you wake up one morning and a season of testing.
All it takes is one mess up,
one thought, one smell, one reminder, one picture. Mm-hmm. All of us have that. And then there's the Bible talks in Revelation 3:10 about the hour of testing, which is a much bigger an aspect of a death of a spouse and an unforeseen moment that shakes faith. And I think what we, temptation's not just, am I going to curse or not curse? Am I going to have a drink or not drink? I think it really is, am I going to reflect the character, nature, and purpose of God in this moment in every area? And I think that's, we need the Word of God to know what those things are. What's the character of God? What's the purpose of God? What's the nature of God?
And sometimes you think about how much work have you put into whatever it is that you've tried to overcome. Suppose you are an addict and you've put in a lot of time. Now you're 2 years sober, or whatever situation it was, is it worth it? Is it going to be worth it for you to compromise all that you've accomplished at this point by that one shot, that one hit, that one whatever it is? So when we come back, we're going to hear from Nate Solder how he prepared, how he was ready for some really, really difficult times in his life, and how he got himself ready for that and how he was able to handle it. And it was through the Word of God. You are listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
If you shake hands with difference makers around the world, you're an alumni from Eastern University in every profession. Our courageous graduates are CEOs, mayors, social entrepreneurs, and Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year finalists. What makes the difference? Eastern alums have been shaped by a powerful combination of academic excellence, Christian values, and professors who truly care. Join our influential community online in Center City or on the main line. Visit eastern.edu/courage.
Hi, I'm Rob Motti. Every day you listen to the news, but how is that news affecting your financial world? Will an upswing in Asia affect your retirement investments? Will a drought halfway around the world dry up your income? You might not feel the immediate effects of every world event, but you do need to keep a close eye on your finances in these times of change. Rick Santella can help you do that.
Thanks, Rob. Hi, I'm Rick Santella, a financial advisor with Morgan Stanley. I'm right here in the Philadelphia region, and I have more than 35 years of experience and the resources to help you keep moving forward. Asset allocation, retirement planning, wealth management, these are all areas I can help you stay on top of.
To make an appointment with Rick, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meeting with Rick Santella could be the most important event of your day.
Asset allocation does not guarantee a profit or protect against a loss. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
And we are back on Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton, Pastor Kyle Horner. We are on 610 Sports, ESPN Radio, the home of national champion Villanova Wildcats. And guys, we're talking about preparing for everything you get ready for in life and doing your reps. Well, we just had a commercial on from Rick Santella, financial advisor at Morgan Stanley. You want to get ready for your financial future, you definitely want to give Rick Santella a call. That's probably something that we ought to do.
Yeah, I actually met with Rick earlier this week. So he actually came in and spoke to some of my students over at Eastern University and did a phenomenal job. And so I want to thank Rick for coming in. And it does make you think, you know, we're not really planning for retirement or for problems to happen. But when you don't, it could really wipe you out. Yeah. I mean, it could literally ruin your life. It could literally ruin your family's life, too,
for the decisions you made and your all that stuff.
So he's very wise, and he did a great job. So if you guys are listening, do us a favor and give Rick a call.
I wish I would have heard him when I was in college. That was a great thing that you did for those kids by having him come in.
You know, it is amazing because they're ready to graduate. They're getting job offers at this time, and they said, I never even thought about any of that stuff.
See? And well, so Rick's now Rick has been in there and talked to them, right? Pastor Kyle's been in there and he's talked to them, right?
He has.
Yeah, I messed him up.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my invitation. Apparently, I can't talk to these kids, but Pastor Kyle, Kyle, and Rick, you know, you got him set up. So I don't want to go in there and scare him and tell him to do anything they shouldn't be focused on right now in their life. So it's all good.
It's a different class. I mean, for a different class, Rob. It'll be good.
I had to ask for an invitation now. I don't think I want to do it. So our theme is
don't be bitter, man. Don't be bitter.
Our theme is do the reps, and in a minute we're gonna hear from former Patriots left tackle, now New York Giants left tackle Nate Solder. Nate survived testicular cancer in 2014, and then in October 2015. His son Hudson was diagnosed with a type of cancer in his kidneys, and he was only 3 months old at the time. But Nate and Hudson are doing fine now. Let's hear how Nate Solder was prepared for these difficult moments in his life. Nate, can you tell me how your faith in God has helped you through so much adversity in your life? We know the story. You overcame cancer, and obviously your little boy as well has. How has God helped you through that journey?
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. I'll say my time in the Word has kind of given me perspective on this stuff. You know, it's God's world, and He made it. So if you don't understand God, you're not going to necessarily understand the world. And when my son was first diagnosed with cancer, I had a little glimpse of what it'd be like to lose your only son. And you can imagine how God must have felt, you know, sacrificing His son for all of us sinners, you know, a bunch of helpless sinners. And He sent him for us, and that was such a touching moment, a sanctifying moment for me.
As you've grown in your faith and grown in your walk, are there inspirational verses or things that you turn to, obviously, as someone who stays in the Word, that help you get through the ups and the downs?
Yeah. Romans 8, there's no condemnation in the Lord. You know, I go through these things every day. I'm in the Bible. I'm studying these things because it's my battery pack. It's how I get through. You know, the Word of God is the most powerful thing we can be putting into our minds.
You have a diverse locker room. You got believers, you got guys who are doing their own thing, you got guys who might be young in their journey with Christ. How do you take leadership, or do you try and be more of a quiet type leader, or try and be a little bit more vocal about bringing people to Christ?
Well, there's been times where I've gotten very passionate and wanted to share, and I think that's the Holy Spirit moving in me, and I don't know if that's always the right way to hit people over the head. Sometimes I can be a quiet person, and I think quiet people might be attracted to that. So I do what God tells me to do, and I'm trying to be obedient to what He asked me to do.
How has this team been able to respond to having so much success? Because sometimes when you have a lot of success and you're in the spotlight, you can go so many different directions and you can get caught up in yourself. How do you guys figure out how to stay grounded through all of that?
Well, I think I'm just reminded of the rich young ruler, you know, not willing to give up his worldly possessions for his relationship with Christ. And I think it's a constant struggle. It's a constant battle because those things are so enticing. But you know that there's eternal glory in Christ, but all these other things are just temporary.
How are you doing physically and your son as well?
I feel great. I feel wonderful. Thanks to God, I feel awesome. And it's a real blessing to be here. And Hudson's doing awesome. My daughter, Charlie Grace, is doing great. And my wife, she's amazing. I have a wonderful family that support me and love me. And it's a great experience.
Well, Nate, thank you so much. We wish you a ton of blessings.
Okay, thank you very much.
And that was Nate Solder, former Patriots left tackle, now with the Giants. And he says there about, the Word of God is how I get through. It's my battery pack. And we're talking about doing your reps and how he was able to overcome being faced with, you're faced with testicular cancer at one stage in your life, and he overcomes that. And that's something nobody ever wants to go through, obviously. And then a year later, I would say it's even tougher, has to be much tougher for any parent out there. you, anytime your child is even sick, you say, I wish I could take that on. Now his kid's born 3 months. He's diagnosed with a type of cancer in his kidneys. He is fine now. But the way Nate Solder was able to get through those moments by turning to his battery pack, turning to the Word of God. He was ready because he was diligent in the Word of God. How do we do our reps in life? How do we get ourselves ready for these moments? And it's by staying in there, being faithful to our pursuit, as we talked about with Ray Lewis a couple weeks back, being faithful to that pursuit with Christ, being faithful to that, to listening, to following, to the word, to the Word of God. Doug, you wanted to bring up another thing because Nate in that 2-3 minutes there, he went in. The questions were wide ranging, so he went in different directions. We could have had 3 or 4 other topics.
He really had a lot in that 3 minutes that he gave. But one thing that really stuck out to me was the fact that he mentioned the rich young ruler. Mm-hmm. And as you think about that story in the Bible, and he was given a game plan. He asked, "What do I need to do?" Mm. Right, and so basically everything's laid out for him. So he has the plan, he has the instruction, and then he's basically like, "Nah." No, I'm not going to follow it, right?
And so I see it. I'm good. I'm going to go the other way.
He's like, "Nah, I don't think I can do that. You know, give up everything that you have." And he's like, "Yeah, I don't think so," right? But he couldn't see the big picture. He couldn't think of the long term picture. But even when you're given all the information, and maybe we fall into that ourselves sometimes, we know exactly what to do. We know that we want to do the right thing, but we still don't listen, or we still don't follow God's plan. Yeah. And Kyle, you know, I was listening to a sermon that you gave. You know, we mentioned it earlier about your fear of water and boats. Right. And
sharks. Yes.
And you know, everything that we need is right there for us.
It's already in, it's already in the boat.
God's in the boat. Instructional, you know, and we had Ray Lewis on a couple weeks ago. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was mentioned the BIBLE. Right.
Yeah.
Basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Yeah.
And so we're given all the instructions that we potentially would need. But how do we apply it? Right. If it's just an instructional booklet and we don't follow the instructional booklet, things get messed up.
Yeah.
Right, and the sermon that I was listening to, I think you're putting together a lamp, or your wife ended up putting together a lamp or something like that, right?
Oh, man, so, 300 pieces.
So 300 pieces it was, right? And the instructions sometimes aren't very clear. Maybe it's a picture.
It's ridiculous.
Right?
Yeah. You ever go shop at
IKEA? Ridiculous.
Those instructions are never clear. That's exactly what I was thinking about. But literally, he was given very specific instructions. This is what you need to succeed, and this is what you need to do. And he refused it, and that's really a shame.
Yeah, I think Doug, you're right on. I think two things. I think, you know, 1 Timothy 4:8 says that physical training has some value, mm-hmm. and it's mm-hmm. which is awesome. Paul's saying we should be working out, we should be going to the gym, we should take care of our bodies, but he said training for godliness has mm-hmm. eternal value. And I'm not, you know, as men and women of faith, we need to put an emphasis on training our lives for reigning, and we don't always train to reign; we are training to survive. You know, it's reactionary, not proactive. You know, I talk to a lot of doctors and nurses. We have a lot of people in the medical profession in our churches, and they talk about how very few Americans think about their health proactively. It's always reactively. All right, well, what medicine do I need to do? What do I have to change now that I'm in this situation?
Yeah.
And I think that's the same way that we have to come at it with the kingdom of God. What I would say, though, is this. The rich young ruler, I can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
I look, it's easy to make fun of Adam and Eve. It's easy to make fun of rich young ruler. But the reason why, one of the reasons why I can relate to that is because the pain in that moment is too great. The pain, there's a pinch, there's a squeeze to the ask of what God is asking us for. And when it's something that maybe one of the three of us doesn't struggle with, we go, "What's the big deal? Just give that up." I mean, who really cares?
Right.
I mean, but when it's something that would squeeze the most for us, because that Jesus was looking at the one thing that guy held the highest. So for us, we look and say, "I could give up 1,000 things." Yeah, Jesus doesn't need to give up that, but would you give up the one? And there's a pain. There's a pinch.
So what we need to realize is that we are the rich young ruler. Right.
Yeah, oh, I mean, absolutely.
That's really us. That when God asks,
it's
to give,
me. I can't speak for everybody, but I mean, I can relate to that.
I think we all have.
Yeah,
every one of us has something that we're attached to.
Exactly.
That we don't want to have to give up, whether or not that's dominating our lives in a negative way, or if it's something that can potentially be a negative. You know, it's another story, but we all have something.
Well, let's just take that for a moment. Robin, I totally agree with you. Just being a pastor, mm-hmm. you know, the word talks about tithing.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, the IRS says only 3% of Americans tithe. So, who say they do? I'm not talking about Americans.
I knew it was a low percentage.
So I'm not trying to get in a debate on tithing or not tithing
right.
here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying,
yeah.
you know, when we look at there's every topic on the planet, you know, we're talking about serving in the house of God, talking about forgiving. How about Jesus saying, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven? Mm-hmm. But what's the list of people that we haven't forgiven? So why? And when you ask somebody, they'll have the reason why they didn't forgive, and it's because of pain. There is a pain point, a pain threshold. It's just like in working out. You work out all the time, buddy. Those arms should be licensed, right? But with the FBI, they're so flipping big. No, I'm serious. Look, when Congress passes, when Supreme Court takes back the Second Amendment, you're going to have to give back your arms. But look, the truth is you go to a point of pain and stop. Everybody does. It's why we need a coach.
Yeah.
Every Olympian walks into the Olympic stadium, the best athletes in the world, they all have a coach because there is a certain level of pain that we as individuals get to, and without someone else intervening, we'll quit.
That's so true because we always want to push ourselves beyond the limit. You always want to go. Yeah, you always, and we go back to our Man Up episode because you want to be a real man and you want to go out there and you want to do this and you want to fight through pain. You want to go through that. We all need that coach in whatever area it is that we're in. God is the ultimate coach.
Yes.
The Bible is the playbook. It's right there for us. And if we concentrate on it, if we read it, if we're diligent about it, we can be ready for whatever comes. And it doesn't mean that when those trials come or those adversity come or even that temptation, it doesn't mean by reading your Bible, studying your Bible, you're going to pass. There's going to be times where you're going to fail whatever test comes.
Yes.
You're going to, and it doesn't make you lesser of a person. It doesn't make you, I hate when people think, We do this a lot in Christianity. You think you're better than another Christian because your sin isn't as on the same level. You think your sin isn't as great as that person's sin. Well, sin is sin.
Got that right.
Right? Sin is sin. So we can't say, oh, well, this guy's not, you know, he did this. And sin is sin, man.
Well, let's clarify something, too, that your failure in a situation, I don't think we define everything as a failure because there could be pain and there could be issues that you have with that, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you failed. Like if you come across a circumstance and you have pain and you're saddened and you're struggling at that point, that doesn't necessarily mean you failed because I think a lot of times we think we have to be invincible to a situation and that's a display of our faith, that if I have more faith in the situation that I'm going to be able to work through it. You can still have a tremendous amount of faith and trust in God and his plan for you, and it still be extremely painful.
Oh, of course.
And that's where it gets really, really messy. And I think that we look at that and that somehow we're not having enough faith if we're hurting or if we're sorrowful or if we're crying or and we have that pain.
Job went through stuff.
Tremendous.
Wow. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I just want to look at that because when you say we have a failure with that, now maybe we give in to temptation and we actually do
sin. Yeah, I'm talking about if you're faced with your choice of you're sober and now you have that drink, or you may flirt with someone, or whatever failure you failed in that instance doesn't make you a horrible person or doesn't make you less of a Christian than someone else who is portraying themselves as walking
straight and narrow. I think, look, you know, we talked this Sunday about having a cookie addiction. but, you know, all of us like different cookies, right? When my grandmother was alive, she cooked chocolate chip cookies.
There is no bad cookie.
Right? But I'd walk into her house, and I know I wasn't supposed to eat chocolate chip cookies before dinner. But the smell, come on, right? The smell wooed you away. You went and got them, and that's what sin is. So
it's not a biblical rule, by the way.
What's that?
You not can't have.
I know. I said
dinner,
the same thing. I think it's a ridiculous rule.
I think sometimes it opens up. Like my kids, if they eat something sweet, it opens up their appetite, and then they're eating a big dinner.
That's what I'm saying. You got to grease this well machine in there. That's what I'm saying.
Everybody's different.
So we got to be careful of what opinions people have or certain rules that are set up that potentially are godly or aren't godly.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Absolutely. I mean, that's a whole different discussion when Paul's saying, you know, hey, some people eat meat, some people don't. We have to work through that. But, you know, the great equalizer Robin, you were talking about seeing ourselves better or less than with sin, is that most people say, but I never killed anybody. I never killed anybody, right? But Jesus
that's
says,
the ultimate
right?
One.
It's always
yeah,
that.
It's all,
but
yeah.
Jesus says in Matthew 5:21, he said, if you've ever been mad at somebody, you killed them. If you've ever talked bad about somebody, you're worthy of judgment. Oh, by the way, if you've ever called someone an idiot or a fool, you're worthy of hell. Now, I've called myself an idiot or fool 1,000 times, let alone ever someone else.
I love that verse.
So in that moment, it's the great equalizer in this thing. So I think when we get back to it, that's why the word's so important, because the word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, right? And light unto my path. It helps me to see who I am. It helps me to see where I should be going. And I think those things, when we see the word is Hebrews 4:12, living and active. It cuts between soul and spirit. It helps me to identify what the spirit is saying versus what my soul, my mind, will, and emotions want me to think. So in my natural state of man, I'm always going to default to my cookie addiction. I'm always going to default to my mind, will, and emotions. That's why I need the word to come in and cut like a knife, do the surgery it takes to reveal who I should be, who I'd be created to be, and how I should walk this thing out.
You mentioned Matthew 5:22, and yeah. I would like to suggest to people out there, all our listeners, if you read that verse, if you
yep.
read Matthew 5:22,
yep.
it's a scary, terrifying verse. And when I first really came across this, right, and studied it, it was at a period of my life when we were about to film an episode on reality TV, and there's hate everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thick veil of hate surrounding us, right? And I read this verse, and I'm trying to respond, and I'm like, but it says, anyone who's angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raka, and I had to look that up, and it means idiot,
fool idiot,
is answerable to the court, and anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. And I'm telling you, I was terrified.
Yes.
I was terrified.
Yeah.
That verse, what Jesus says right there, terrified me. And then I went out there, and we're filming this, and they said, well, how are you not responding? How are you not saying anything back? And it was, you know, TV is what it is. Reality TV is what it is. It's not real.
They wanted you to respond.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I throw this verse out there. Never made it on air. Never made it. But for the live studio audience, they got to hear it. So I was like, oh, at least tweet it out there. Whoever's listening, put it out there. Say something about it. So it is, I would like to encourage people out there, read that verse and really meditate on it and study it. And then think to yourself, when that guy cuts you off and you go, you stinking. Blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yep. Yep.
Well, Jesus just says in here, if you say you idiot, you're going to be answerable to the court.
You know, that's really funny,
scary,
Rob, because I was talking to, I dropped my daughter off at a birthday party yesterday. They had off from school, and it was basically an all-day birthday party. And so...
On Monday?
Basically, I go up to the brother of the girl. So Javen Stone will give a little guy a shout out, right? So he's a big basketball fan, but he likes the Golden State Warriors, right? Yeah. And so we're just talking about basketball.
It's bad parenting, right there. It's bad parenting.
I tell his dad that all the time.
Must be Steph Curry, though.
That's all right. We like it. All right.
So yeah. I mean, we're on the field.
So is Kev. Kev Durant.
You know, it's all right. So, but we start talking just about guys that we potentially could have on as basketball players, and he said, "Well, what about this guy? What about this guy?" And I was like, "Well, I've heard that he's a Christian. He has a good testimony." He goes, "Yeah, but he curses."
Was there a specific person he said that
about? Yeah, a couple different guys.
Okay.
You know, and but they are guys.
We need to have a topic one day on that, Pastor Kyle, because that is a difficult topic for a lot of Christian athletes, and not just athletes. Everyone in general.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Everyone in general. It's got nothing to do with
you said about people cutting us off in traffic.
Yeah,
what happens
yeah.
when a play goes bad, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, or a guy gives you a hard foul.
Or when you're just firing them up. In the pregame huddle or a post-game celebration.
We can talk about that. But it was really interesting, the fact that I said, hey, this guy's got a great testimony. And he's like, yeah, but he curses. And this is just a little guy, right? I mean, he's like 10 years old, 9 to 10 years old.
Oh, really?
And he knows because he'll watch a game or he'll see a press conference or highlights or whatever.
Yeah, but we're not perfect.
And
Did you tell him that?
You could read the lips of guys too, right? But it's just interesting, you know, what's acceptable to say when you're in a game, what's not, or when is it never acceptable, right?
That's a good topic for another day.
I think that is something that
a lot of people struggle with. I think that's something that no matter who you are, that's a struggle for a ton of people. When we come back, I want to talk about boats for a little bit. I want to talk about the water. And we can you guys can help me settle an issue, and we'll bring in Bree too if you have, you got to listen in, Bree, and maybe you can, because there's two of you, she might have to be the tiebreaker.
She might have to be the tiebreaker.
You're listening to Faith on the Field Show presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Rob Motti. Make a difference, be a blessing is the sign off I use every time I finish a radio show. But it's not just a cute saying or catchphrase. These are words I try to live by. It's who I am. It's the legacy I want to leave behind. That's why Remy and I have started Remy and Rob Be a Blessing Foundation. Our passion is helping underprivileged youth and trafficking victims. Human trafficking is the second largest criminal industry in the world after drug dealing, and stats say it's the fastest growing. It's not just happening in faraway places in third world countries. Arrests have been made right here in the Delaware Valley in recent months. The victims of these evil crimes need help restarting their lives and dealing with the trauma. There's also a shortage of shelters for survivors. If you'd like to help, check out BeABlessingFoundation.com and please consider making a tax-deductible donation. Thank you.
If you shake hands with difference makers around the world, you're an alumni from Eastern University in every profession. Our courageous graduates are CEOs, mayors, social entrepreneurs, and Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year finalists. What makes the difference? Eastern alums have been shaped by a powerful combination of academic excellence, Christian values, and professors who truly care. Join our influential community online in Center City or on the main line. Visit eastern.edu/courage.
And welcome back to Faith on a Field Show presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio, the home of Villanova Wildcats, the national champions for the second time in 3 years. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton, Pastor Kyle Horner. We are, week 49, counting down to our one-year anniversary? Wow, week 49. If you missed any of our previous episodes, you can catch up on iTunes, subscribe to Faith on a Field Show, and maybe even leave a review, right?
We'd appreciate that, yeah. And you know,
I would like to hear negative reviews too.
I would not.
No,
I agree with Kyle.
Positive ones are great. Give me some positive. Everybody wants some positive encouragement. If you got something bad to say, I love haters.
Take it to Jesus. How's that?
It's on iTunes. You can find us there. You can download. You can listen at your convenience. You can follow us on almost any platform out there. FaithOnTheFieldShow.com will lead you right to it. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter as well. We've had an incredible lineup of guests in our first year. I'm really looking forward to the second year. We have some exciting things happening, some exciting things in the works that we can talk to you about and let you know in the coming weeks. Guests from Ray Lewis to Clayton Kershaw. We've addressed so many important topics that I feel that if you're going through a season or you're going through a period or you're going through a moment, just scan back, look at them, and see if the topic, not necessarily whether it's the athlete that drives you to that episode or whether it's the topic like finding your worth or being a real man, or we call that one man up actually, or the courage to be accountable, courage to be bold. So many different ones out there. We have our event at Eastern coming up on Wednesday, April 18th, featuring the guy who caught the game-winning touchdown for the Philadelphia Eagles. Zach Ertz and Jordan Hicks will be there. It's going to be an awesome 7 p.m. start, Doug?
It's 7 p.m. start, yeah. You know, a lot of the tickets are going to be...
Give them the butt.
Yeah, so the butt is that there's going to be limited tickets that are available. I think that we're going to do some social media contest to be able to give some of those tickets away. Mm-hmm. So it's a very limited event, mostly for the Eastern community, but we will make some tickets available. So stay in tune with Facebook and Instagram and Twitter just to see when we're going to launch some of those. But we would like to see a couple people out there. And we're going to have more events coming up, which we'll announce in the upcoming weeks also.
Absolutely.
So we hopefully people can get out there and see us live.
Year one was great. Year two is going to be even better, and we're going to wrap up year one in a couple weeks. But we got about 5 minutes, fellas. So we've teased this all episode. And when I heard that sermon, Pastor Colin, you talked about your illogical fear of boats, I was like, babe, see, listen, I'm not the only one. So here's the deal. I'm terrified of deep water. We have a pool in our backyard that is at 3.5 feet all the way to 6. I never go over past the rope to the 6 feet side. If I can't stand in it, I won't go in it. I grew up in the city. I grew up in South Philly, and my parents did not take me to the beach. as a kid to learn how they couldn't swim. So they didn't take we ended up going where everybody in South Philly goes to Wildwood. We ended up going to Wildwood in Ocean City and whatever. But one time I fell in 3.5 feet deep water on one of those slides in Wildwood, and I'm screaming. I'm thinking I'm going to drown. I hear somebody go, "Stand up. Just stand up." I stood up, and the water's halfway here. I want to get off. I was 13 years old. I want to get off. There, you got to finish the ride. There's no way off.
It's not even like it's a lake where it's mushy on the bottom. You don't want to put your feet down, right?
So it's so every year, classic. Remy wants to take – she wants to take this boat ride to Shelkey Island, right? It's right where I said where our condo is, and – you get on this boat, and you go from one side of the Boca Ciega Bay to this island called Shelkey Island, and I guess there's shells there. So it's beautiful, right? And there's a beach one block away. It's gorgeous. The beach, the Gulf of Mexico is right there. We can go there every day. But she wants to take this boat ride with the kids, and she's got them wanting to do it. So we, in our travels, we pass the Tropicana Field, home of the Saints the Tampa Bay Rays, almost every day. We're right there, right near Tropicana Field. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to take the girls to a baseball game. We're never here. We're never there for the start of the regular season, but this season, the regular season started in March. It just so happened. They're playing the Red Sox. It's going to be a night game. I could get some tickets, and we can go. And I tell her flat out, I have no interest in sitting there for the game. She hates sports. I don't want to sit for a 9-inning baseball game if I'm not getting paid to be there.
Right.
I'm like, well, we'll go there. I just want to get them the ice cream and that little helmet.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing.
That's all I wanted to do. Take a picture and leave.
But haven't the helmets gotten smaller?
I think so.
Right?
But the price has gone up.
No, way up. Yeah.
So they've only been to one Phillies game when they were a year old. We went there. They met everybody. They took their picture. We left before first pitch. I'm like, same scenario. She's like, okay, go on a boat. So we end up in Disney Springs. We go all the way to Orlando, and we never went to Disney World or anything else because I'm at the meetings. On the way back, we stop at, they tell us about this Disney Springs. It's beautiful. You been there?
Yeah, it's my
one. Is it going to Disney and not going to the ride? Right?
Yeah.
It's like you're going to go to a game.
Disney Springs is awesome.
It's
the best restaurant.
So you're crazy, we end up going back. We're in Disney Springs, and now we're on one end of the Disney Springs. You can go to the other end, right, by taking a steamboat. Okay, so I look out, and I don't see the terrifying waters of the Boca Ciega Bay or the Gulf of Mexico. I see this calm, serene lake, and I'm like, this looks pretty safe. And then I see it going from one end to the other, and I could see land all around me. Yeah. It's a lake. I don't know if there's active wildlife in there like there was at the resort we were at. They're like, active wildlife. You don't want to go in there. I was like, I'm not going in the active. I don't see no gators. So we end up, we go in, right? We take it all. I loved it so much, we took it back and forth. And I said, all right, the game's tomorrow night. Let's go to the game now. No, it doesn't count. It wasn't a real boat ride. Is that a real boat ride?
It was probably on a track. It probably didn't even have a motor, right?
No, it's a real boat.
It's a real boat. It's a real boat. Steamboat. You've seen it, right?
I've been there.
Boat?
Yeah, I've definitely
taken
that. For
the sake of
ride.
Your argument, I would say that it would count. The Remy should have given
count.
In to you. Absolutely.
It would definitely count.
So we don't even need Bree to be a tiebreaker.
If you're asking, is it a boat... is it like a ride equivalent to being out in the ocean? No. But is it a boat ride? Yes.
And the deal was a boat ride.
Yeah, I would agree. Although I'm fearing Remy's response here, so I could be persuaded to think the other way. But I'm just saying.
Did you get to go to the game? That's the question.
No, we didn't go to the game.
Well, she owes you Phillies game.
We went to dinner that night instead, and had a terrible meal too.
Did you go to Disney Springs?
It was bad. We did go, yeah. Disney
where Springs. Where did you go to have a bad meal?
I'll tell you off.
I'll tell you off.
Some
of my favorite places at that place.
And the episode the sermon that you gave, we're going to make that an entire episode because it was so good. And we can get into the illogical fear of boats and sharks. That's it for this episode. Thank you to Nate Solder for being our guest. Thank you to Ryan Lennox behind the glass. Thank you to all our sponsors, Eastern University, Rick Santella from Morgan Stanley. Thank you to Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner, my co-hosts, and Bree for being here. Bree is in studio. I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.